In the 1980s, there was a group of researchers who decided to do an experiment. They enlisted 40 volunteers from a major American seminary, and they divided those volunteers into two groups. So 20 in one group, 20 in the other. But they told them that they were conducting research into the careers that you might have in the church. Both groups were asked that when they were released to go individually to another building, and that when they got there, they were to find a tape recorder and record their thoughts. One group was told their thoughts would be about challenges to the career that they were considering in the church. The other group was told that they were to do their thoughts about the parable of the Good Samaritan. So two groups, two different purposes, thoughts about the church career, thoughts about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and they released them one at a time to walk to the other building. Actually, they didn't care what their thoughts were because there was an actor that they had hired who, as they walked along, would feign a heart attack right in front of them. He would slump to the ground and grab his chest. So here they are walking by this person thinking about their task, and he falls and collapses and is in obvious distress. You know what was disconcerting? More than half of them just stepped over him and kept going. Can you imagine thinking your thoughts about the parable of the Good Samaritan and you step right over someone that's obviously in distress? That should be a very disconcerting story, but so should it be if we're in danger of overlooking our spiritual gifts. Because spiritual gifts are life. They're the love and the hope, the healing, the redemption that God brings into the world by placing those gifts in us and calling us to use those gifts. And if we don't use them, we might as well be stepping over the need. I have to ask you, is that what you're in danger of doing? Or have you paid attention? Because we've been at this now for 6 weeks. Today we're going to conclude our study of the spiritual gifts, and I will confess that I don't remember growing up hearing any sermons in the Methodist or the Presbyterian Church, in the general Protestant worship in the Army and Air Force bases overseas, where they really worked through the spiritual gifts. If anything, it was why we don't do that. Those people do that, but we don't, is what I often heard. But we felt it's important because it's a key part of Scripture. It's a major portion of sections of the book of Ephesians and Corinthians and Romans. You just can't read Scripture and gloss over. It's important. Knowing your gifts is one thing. Using your gifts, deploying your gifts, is quite another. And so as we finish this 6-week journey of looking at spiritual gifts, I pray that you have begun to discover what your gifts are, because as Scripture says, we all have gifts. And if you're still holding out, there's still one more category of gifts we're going to look at today. But I want to also take us back to January, where we began this series, because there are two warnings that come from the book of Corinthians and Timothy that are shared with us. First, we are told not to be unaware of our spiritual gifts. That is, below the surface, for many of us, are these gifts that are ready to be tapped into, to be deployed and utilized. You may not be sure they're there, but that's the purpose in doing this. Gifts that should not be left unutilized. There is another warning, as I said, from Timothy, that we should not be negligent that these gifts are within us. We have preached so that you would be aware of these gifts, but you get to make the decision whether or not you use the gifts. The warning from God's Word is don't neglect your gifts. Discover, develop them, and use them so that the joy of being in this great mission with God will be your joy. And of course, it will be joy to others as you share those gifts. Now, we also made a decision about how we would look at the gifts. We could have just looked at the individual scriptures. There's 6 or 7 of them that we could have preached on each week. But we decided to use categories, as others have done. That's just one way of organizing them. But you remember, as you see this chart, that there are guiding gifts, there are influencing gifts, fellowship gifts, there are, of course, task gifts. And this week, we're looking at the support gifts. That's important to see that these are gifts that reinforce or complement the other gifts. They strengthen them. So let's begin. And the first gift we want to look at is the gift of wisdom. There is, given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom we read in 1 Corinthians 12. A simple definition is, this is the ability to better understand God's perspective on life situations and to share those insights in simple and understandable ways. This is the ability to explain what to do and how to do it according to the principles in Scripture. Now, there are times when that becomes very important when people start asking the question, why? God, why did this happen? What's going on? And we may not understand everything, but we can go back to Scripture to gain perspective, to see that God is with us in the midst of these things, which, of course, the person with the gift of wisdom also must have the gift of patience, because sometimes we're not going to see that gift or that answer unfold right before us. But we have to trust God for the way ahead. We see this, for instance, in Acts 15, in the lives of Peter and Paul and James, is they're going to have to use the gift of wisdom and be patient as God is working this out. There's another gift that's very similar and important, kind of a corollary gift, we would say, and that's the gift of knowledge. Paul writes that some have the message of wisdom, another have the message of knowledge. This is the ability to discover, to collect, analyze, even organize information that's vital to the individual believers or the entire church. Do you know how important that is for this church? I mean, this is a big program, a big ministry. Just keeping track of the budget, just keeping track of all the folks, making sure that we have an orderly flow, knowing that's anywhere between 35 to 80 different events taking place in this church every day. It takes people with knowledge. They are the ones who can organize this and make it work smoothly. These people have the ability to comprehend a large amount of information and provide it when it's needed for effective decision-making. We've got some great leaders who can see the big picture and help us make great decisions. You can imagine how critical it is to have this gift well represented in this church because it is so complex. I was talking to a gentleman right before the service started, and he said, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Jim, I'm going to give you credit. Jim Russell told me this. He said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is really a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Jim, I think that illustrates it very well. Thank you for that definition. So he apparently has the gift of knowledge and wisdom. I think when I look at this gift, I see Daniel. Daniel, who served a number of kings in the Babylonian exile, was able to use that gift of knowledge to keep everything orderly. He was well respected, as we read, among the Jews and the Babylonians because he had this great ability to organize and to bring things together. And because of that, he was able to participate in several administrations. There is another gift, and it is the gift of discernment. Now, this gift is really important because it is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, truth and error, to give guidance based on God's word. It's not an opinion, but it's knowing what God says and to be able to apply that so right decisions, truthful decisions are made. Without that, it's chaotic, it's anarchy, and anybody can take over. And that leads to darkness. There is an important scene in the book of Acts when Peter is confronted by a man named Simon. It's in Acts chapter 8. Simon comes to Peter and wants to buy the gift of healing. He has seen Peter using this gift. Peter knows that Simon has an evil intent behind his request. Not only do you not sell God's gifts, but he knows that Simon wants to make money off of the use of this gift. And that's nefarious, and it is not proper. So that gift of discernment is important because there are people who will take advantage of us. I rely upon some folks because when I was entering the United Methodist Ministry, they gave me a battery of psychological assessments. And there was a red flag that popped up. Any of you who've taken these, you know what it's like when you get to hear your assessments, and you're kind of nervous about that. And the interpreter, the psychologist, said, well, we have a concern. So I got nervous and started sweating. I said, what is it? He said, well, you have an elevated scale. You are naive. Naivety. That was elevated. And he said, it's actually a good trait because you trust people. You take them at face value. But you're going to get scammed. You're going to get burned. Well, which is it, was my thought. He said, you're going to need people around you who have that gift of discernment. They're the ones who are going to be able to ferret out those people who will take advantage. Now, I'm not as naive as I used to be, so don't even try today. But I have to remember that I have to rely upon people who have that gift of discernment. That they can see deeper. They can see more of motive, and they can relate that to God's Word. The next support gift is faith. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another, faith has been given by the same Spirit. The gift of faith is the ability to discern God's will, to pursue it with extraordinary confidence, and then lay hold of God's promises. These are the people who can see things that are not yet there and can believe that they're possible. In fact, that God is calling us to do those things. They're even willing to risk failure in pursuit of a God-given vision, expecting that God will handle the obstacles. You know, I was reading about this, and I thought, I know exactly when I needed people with the gift of faith in my life. It's when this church was considering building these two buildings that we've built over the last 4 or 5 years. I was in John Curtis's office. John was our architect designing this massive building that's next to us, and he invited me over to see the first renderings. I sat down with John. He unfolded the renderings, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's way too big. We can't do that. That'll hurt this church. I was just reacting. And John said, hang on, let me explain this to you. And he gently walked me through. You know what he did? He helped me catch the vision. Because he had faith, along with some other wonderful people in this congregation. Wayman, you remember. You guys had to convince me that this could be done, and boy, did they do a great job. I am so grateful for their gift of faith, that extraordinary gift to be able to see the vision. It would become reality, and I bought all into it, and it's there, even more than we could have thought. That gift is important because it's sometimes much more important than a building. There is a story in the book of Acts where Paul has to encourage people with faith. It's found in Acts 27, and he is on a ship, and the ship is floundering. It's beginning to sink. And Paul is dealing with all these sailors who believe they're going to lose their life, and he says, hang on, I had a vision, a dream, and God assured me that we would not die. Now, the ship's going to be lost, but we're going to be okay. In fact, he says, I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. And it was. Don't you know it's hard to grab hold of that faith when the ship is sinking out from under you? But that's the time we need that gift. Some of you have the gift of faith. And when the rest of us think we're lost, you're the ones who need to stand up and say, hang on. There is a Lord of the universe, a loving God who's in control, and it is not lost. The churches of Jesus Christ, and will persevere and endure to the end of time. Those of you who have faith need to offer that gift. There is another gift, and it is the gift of miracles. There is a story, and Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Mark, that if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will happen, it will be done for him. Now, a lot of people struggle with this. They're not real sure about this because that's supernatural intervention. But the gift of miracles is actually the ability to pray in faith specifically for God's supernatural intervention in an impossible situation and to see God answer that. It's the ability to sense when God is prompting you to pray this kind of prayer. Several years ago, I was at the hospital. It was the intensive care unit. And I was standing there with Shields Bennett. His wife, Diane, was virtually comatose. She was in intensive care, unable to respond. She was critically ill, barely alive. the anesthetist came in and said that she needed an operation on her heart, but that she was too sick to be able to stop her heart and to affect the operation. She couldn't be put on the heart bypass, the heart-lung bypass machine. They would have to do the operation while her heart was still beating. Now, this was a very dangerous and rare operation. And she said there's only a 3% chance that she'll live. Why put her through it? Can you imagine the dilemma of her husband standing there wondering, what do I do for my wife? The doctor came in and he said, yep, it's 3%, but we can do it. I'm all in. I have faith that we can do this. And we believed him. And we prayed together. We prayed, God, we're going to trust you for the way ahead. But if it is in your will that Diane survive, we trust you for that. And if not, we know she'll be home with you. But, Lord, she's in your hands. The doctor worked that miracle. Diane was actually in the last service 9 years later. She's still healthy and kicking and around. And as the doctor said when it was over, it truly was a miracle. Now, of course, we give medical science proper credit. We understand there's a natural process, but we also understand there is that supernatural presence of God in that moment. I can't explain to you why it happens sometimes and not others, but I have seen it happen. And I give God thanks for those who have the gift of miracles and we're willing to pray for God's supernatural intervention when it is needed. Now, I've saved for you the last couple of gifts we call support gifts because they tend to be the most controversial. They are called the gifts of tongues and interpretations. Boy, have I seen some churches torn up over this. It's confusing to some. It's been misused by some. But there they are, right in Scripture with the other gifts. We tend to love things like the gift of encouragement, the gift of helping, the gift of faith. And then there are the gifts of tongues and interpretation. Now, in our tradition, you don't see those gifts very often, though I know there are folks in this church, I've seen you praying with the gift of tongues, interpreting. Now, if we were to go to our brothers and sisters over in one of the Pentecostal churches, they would be much more obvious, perhaps more dramatic. It would be a common part of their worship. But though these gifts make us uncomfortable, we have to take a moment and look at them. Tongues is simply speaking in an unlearned language, which is to be interpreted so that the entire body will be edified. Scripture's real clear. If you're going to speak in tongues, they need to be interpreted. Interpretation is translating those words into a known language so that hearers will be edified. That is, blessed by what they're hearing. Now, that begs the question, why doesn't God go ahead and simply give the message in the language that the hearers already understand, sort of cutting out the middleman? I don't have an answer for that. But I know God has a reason for that. And perhaps one day when I'm sitting down with God asking, you know, those 3 billion questions I have, that'll be one of them. God, explain to me about tongues and interpretation a little bit clearer because I missed that in seminary. But I want to have the answers like you do. Here's what we do know. Tongues and interpretation are meant to build up the church. So if you see division, if you see confusion, if you see manipulation, somebody is misusing those gifts. And my advice is, leave. Don't hang around with that kind of mess. This gift has caused problems before. In fact, in the Corinthian church, it caused so many problems that Paul wrote an entire chapter, chapter 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians, to deal with those problems. He tells us, for instance, that tongues are for personal edification, not for the whole church. So it's meant to be a blessing for an individual. He tells us that we're to focus, if we're going to use the gift of tongues, they should be to focus on building up others, not ourselves. This is not a, hey, pay attention to me kind of gift. It's not grandstanding. It is meant to encourage and build up others. And we know, as Paul says, that it can be confusing. If you have an unbeliever come into the service and somebody's speaking in tongues, they may wonder, what the heck is going on? In fact, he said, if some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Paul recognizes that it can be confusing. And he also reminds us that ideally it is not meant to be used in worship services. That's where it often is confusing. It is better to speak five words that people understand to instruct others than 10,000 words that people don't understand. He tells us, stop thinking like children. Be wise about this. Tongues are not to tear up the church. In fact, what he says, the gift of speaking God's message should be under the speaker's control because God does not want us to be in disorder, but in harmony and peace. I would say that applies to every gift. If a gift is causing confusion and hurt in the church, then we are living contrary to why God gave us the gifts. They are there to create harmony, to create peace. In other words, these gifts of tongue and interpretations should never cause division or hurt. They're not even necessarily obvious or of prime importance. They are simply among many gifts, and all gifts are important. So we've been journeying for 6 weeks. We've covered a lot of ground. We looked at guiding, influencing, fellowship, task and support gifts. But we have to ask, are you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, ready to quit watching and start serving? Let me go back to the question I asked at the beginning of this sermon. Is there any possibility that you're simply walking past someone who would benefit from your spiritual gifts? Your pastors have been praying. We've been hoping that you will begin to discover your spiritual gifts. And more importantly, that you're using your spiritual gifts and that you've found joy in sharing those gifts. Because when you do, you take on an active role in serving Jesus. You are sharing the good news and revealing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. You see, using your gifts can make an eternal difference in someone's life. So I'll ask you the question that I ask you a lot. What are you waiting for? Let's pray. We have had a lot of information given to us over these 6 weeks. But perhaps it's opened the door to understanding, to be willing to search, and more importantly, to use the gifts that you give us. If there is still confusion, Lord, help us to keep growing and searching, seeking, and more importantly, using these gifts. For they are the work of the kingdom. And in your kingdom, there is hope and love and light. And we would want to be a part of that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A while back, I was with my grandson, and we were working on a puzzle. We generally put those pieces in as he figured out where they went. And then there was that one piece that had to be put in. And as he dropped it in the right place, he said, "Granddaddy, I can see the whole picture." He got it. And that's what we want for you, is all these gifts help us to see the whole picture. Every gift is important. Every gift is needed. So go and serve with the gifts that God has given you. Do so joyfully and watch the power of God in our midst as you go in peace and go in love. Amen.